The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Girl, there is so much piping hot tea searing into the world, parentheses, the world we give a shit about, end parentheses. It is oozing in like molten lava, and it will not stop.
I pushed the record button and we immediately just started laughing because we know that this is about to be an absolute roller coaster.
Listen, comedian Kiki Anderson is our guest today. She's in the green room. Hopefully we get to her to try to fix James Corden, because the list of shit that Chris and I need to go over is extensive. Listen to this list. I don't even know if we'll get to all these motherfuckers. Listen to the. I'm just going to say the names.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman, Drew Barrymore.
Oh,
Jen Shaw and Elizabeth Holmes. God. The Nicole Kidman, Amy Schumer feud. Jan Wenner is a racist. Russell Brand is a rapist. And the Britney update this week is so utterly ridiculous on BritWatch that we have to leave her for the conclusion. It is Christmas fucking day at Fixing Famous People.
It sure is.
This is going to be an 11-hour episode. It will be the length of The Thornbirds, and you don't know what that is, but it was a great miniseries from the 1980s starring Richard Chamberlain as a priest and Barbara Stanwyck as the wealthy landowner who loved the priest. Actual line from the miniseries, I love you, priest, I swear to God. Anyway, it will be just shy of 11 hours because we have to go over all of these famous people. Christopher, pick a name from that list. Where do you want to begin?
Okay, should we go happy or sad?
I mean, sad equaling rape, right? None of them really seemed sad to me. Oh my God, I don't even have the Coonies Coochers on this list for their update from last week. their lives have gotten even worse.
It's too much. We're trying to cover too much. Okay, so
Chris, talk about Hugh Jackman. Let's just start with Hugh Jackman.
Okay, I'm going. People will be coming for me for this. Hugh Jackman has been freed. His wife.
That is so unfair.
Beard. That woman is gone.
By him.
He finally can be himself, if you know what I'm. To quote Wendy Williams, they've been putting on this charade for a little too long, if you know what I mean. And so, I think that you do.
Oh, you miss Wendy Williams so much.
I miss her so much. I miss her so much every day. How, listen, all I'm going to say about Hugh Jackman and his wife breaking up, how you doing, Hugh Jackman? That's all. I will not say anything else, but other than what Dominic is about to reveal of the text messages that I sent.
Yes, Chris and I are in a group chat, and I said in the group chat that Hugh Jackman, you know, he's very talented, he's quite handsome, he's undeniably charming, but he's never been like superstar status to me personally. Like, he's never been that guy. Chris responds with, I would have sex with him in front of my entire family. I fell down when I read it. I was on the subway. I literally fell. People threw change and half sandwiches at me. I was on the subway floor because following up that text, our friend Tom says,
how dare you do this to him, but do it.
I would have sex with him in front of Chris's family too, as soon as Chris was done. The whores have weighed in.
We're disgusting.
Gay whores have weighed in. We are thrilled about the Jackman split.
It opens a door, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, is that what they're calling it now? A door? Is that what they call it on TikTok? Their buttholes?
I don't know. We could go on that for 15 more minutes, but we don't have time. We have to move on.
We don't. I think that everyone who does Broadway shows is bisexual at the bare minimum.
Stop.
So
that's rude,
what do you mean? I do think that they are. I think they may not admit it, but I know for them. And it's fine. They don't have to reveal. Okay. So if Hugh Jackman starts dating a man, would that really move the needle for anybody?
No, not at all.
Everyone already thinks it.
Everyone would be happy. I'm happy. Everyone would just be happy for him. That's all.
I'm sure she's lovely. And you know what? She's not a supermodel and has for decades, if we might be fair, taken an obscene amount of shit based on her appearance from the press. So she probably just needs a fucking break.
And they were dating when she's like a Renee Angelil. Like, he was like 20 and she was like 40 something and they got married.
Are you, if you're comparing Hugh Jackman to Celine Dion, how will it get gayer for him? No. You're comparing him to Celine. Let's move on to our next.
Let's move on. It's a lost cause.
Drew, full name Drusilla. I made that up. Barrymore.
Drusilla. Oh, God.
I'm happy for her because I think that finally the right decision was made. I think no matter the beating she's taken, I do tend to think that she had her heart in the right place, but it was telling her the wrong thing. That's just the problem. I think that she thought she would like solve a smaller problem without solving the bigger problem, but all she did was create a giant problem for herself. And it's like, she apologized. I felt like she was sincere. And now she's apologized a second time now that the show is paused. And when I tell you that before we recorded this, the Los Angeles Times has an article that says Drew Barrymore spent years building her brand. Without writers, it unraveled in a week. With a few ill-advised social media posts, America's adorkable sweetheart punctured her carefully honed image as an endearing kook and excruciatingly sincere Hollywood survivor. I don't think that she's in trouble. I really don't. I don't think that anyone thinks Drew Barrymore is a robber baron or Elon Musk. I don't think anyone thinks that she's like that hard up for money that's why she was doing this. I think she was trying to move forward and just fucked up. Like, that's it for me.
I think she it's very clear that she had her hands tied, which I understand. However, is it still a good decision to do? No. But then the thing that was worse is that she kept talking about it and it reeked of PR. And she's such that person, like, never forget when we all first saw the video of her running around in the rain screaming. And she was being like, if you can run around in the rain, like, don't miss the opportunity. And we were all like, she's batshit, but like, we love it.
Sure.
It reeked of like, someone told me to say this and so I am going to say it. Here's, okay, listen to me. Drew.
Well, that's why I'm here, is to listen to you.
Drew, the Coonies Coochers, any celebrity that's going to give an apology, listen up. Turn your, like, mute everything else. Pull up a seat. Listen to what I am saying to you. When you do this apology that you video yourself in your house to make it seem like a humongous PR machine didn't tell you to do this, I need you to get off book. I can't have you glancing to the side to see the screen that you're reading off of. I need you to be off book for this. Does that make sense to you?
I'm going to answer for them. Yes, Chris, this makes sense. Thank you. You've saved more careers today.
It's so infuriating that these people say that they're actors and they can't memorize a speech that they're going to give.
With the Coonies Coochers from last week apologize, with all these rich people apologizing, the bottom line is they can live comfortably with what they have in the bank for the rest of their lives now, period. All right? I want someone to just say, fuck it, and deliver the apology from a bubble bath, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, that is all I want. So we're going to give, as the podcast continues and we find more people who have apologies to issue, we will decide at the end of the year who should reissue their apology from a bubble bath. Oh, I'm going to conduct this investigation. That's
That is very smart. Do you get it? Like, I need you to pretend like you are saying this from the heart, even though we know you're not. Your eyes darting back and forth and back and forth and back and forth does not sell me on it any more than it already did. You know what I mean? Like, you're really just telling on yourself the whole time. It's so
because awful. I'm in this community. I am a performer. I will tell you firsthand, all actors are insane. We like playing roles and telling jokes because the one thing we don't want to do is be our fucking selves. We don't even know how. Chris, I walk around in life with this microphone and it's not attached to anything. I don't know what
it's trailing on the ground.
But it is the truth. Actors are they don't know how to be themselves. They look uncomfortable. The Coonies Coocher apology is unbearable to watch. I would only do it one time because I started scratching myself when I watched it again.
Isn't it so funny that I feel that I have this experience, and I hope that you do too, that when you, since we work in reality television, when you encounter a real actor that then is like going to be on a reality show, every time that it's happened to me, they've been like, I'm so nervous for this. And I'm like, why? You have to like do actual real acting where there's like hundreds of people like riding on your performance. Like, what are you talking about? This is so easy. And they always say to me, I've never had to like play myself. Like, that's terrifying.
Mm. Yeah, it is terrifying. Yeah. And you know, it's just, especially like when you, everyone starts a reality show playing the version of themselves. And it's always fun to interview someone over a season of a reality show, a new person, where in that first interview, they are this character of themselves that they've created because they thought to themselves, if I was ever on television, I would be boo, boo, boo. Then after a few weeks, they realize the cameras aren't going away. And it's that third interview where they're just like, let me tell you this, bitch.
Here's why this person sucks. Here's why this person's, love it.
Because you have to be your, it's very funny.
Anyway, we have to move on. I'm sorry.
Let's move on down. Let's go to a feud. Amy Schumer versus Nicole Kidman. So basically,
Nicole Kidman, fill me in on this because you like know about this. I was not.
Go Google it while I'm chatting about it. It's on some, there is a photo of Nicole Kidman who looks robotic because she is the perfect human.
Our queen.
And I'm using human in quotes, which is funny because the joke Amy Schumer told, she posted a picture of her from the US Open sitting cross-legged and looking very stiff. And the caption that Amy wrote was something like, this how humans sit. I'm sorry. I fucking love Amy Schumer. And I think that joke was hilarious. But
we make similar jokes like that every episode on this podcast.
Worse. And so you know, Nicole Kidman fans went after Amy Schumer. So she took it down. And then, oh, you're going to love this if you don't know this. She then issued an apology and said in the apology she was going to ask the cast of That 70s Show to write character letters on her behalf.
Perfect.
And then I think she took that down. Apparently, when confronted with questions of the feud, either Nicole Kidman or her assistant said, the quote is something like that, she's giving this no attention.
Yeah, like, foolish. I don't even know what you're talking about, basically. Yeah, because Nicole Kidman is completely unbothered because she doesn't even know what Instagram is.
Right. And, you know, 2 seconds. By the way, no one's seen Amy Schumer since then, but someone looking like Shelley Miscavige was at her door in the middle of the night, apparently, and grabbed her by the throat and shot like a bullet out of the building.
Yeah, right. They would be like loving this for her because they hate Nicole Kidman.
I know. Maybe they're the ones that paid Amy Schumer to tweet that.
Probably.
All right. Moving on. This is where it gets a little more. Jan Wenner. Bye, bitch. I mean, bye, bitch.
I didn't know who this person was until Rebecca texted us, so I had to Google
Oh, really?
Who it was.
Oh,
I
wow.
did not know who he was.
No, Jan Wenner. I mean, he's a legend, you know, I mean, and rightly considered one given his place in publishing and music history. I mean, for sure. Did
Until.
Not see this one coming. Did not see this one coming.
So basically he does this he's the co-founder of the Rolling Stone magazine and.
And on the board at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And they're doing some big, huge article, question mark. What was it?
I think it's a movie called The Seven, and it's about seven legends, and I get Jan is involved in this in some way, and it's like Mick Jagger and David Bowie, but
oh,
it's
like
the seven people are all, I believe, seven straight white men, and he's sort of regarding them as the seven most important people in music history, right? But when asked about why there were no women and why there were no people of color, to make a long story short, because I think anyone who listens to this conversation will get it, he complained about other subjects not being articulate enough to be included here. And so that's when the avalanche started. There's nowhere to even begin with discussing how he revealed himself here and how he fucked up. But if you are a racist, let me give you some advice. If you are white, never, ever, ever, ever use the word articulate to describe
anyone
of any color or non-color. Just don't do it. It never goes well for anybody. Even if the person that you are describing is actually articulate, just keep it to your fucking self. There's no...
It's like racism 101. Like, it's so bad because it's so
insane.
Obviously bad.
Why you would choose those words is a testament to who you would be. If you're describing a person of color and their level of articulity, let's see what I did.
Stop.
If that's one of the first three things that's important to you, it means that you are racist and you should be quiet until you are not.
It's 2023 and you are like, I didn't need to have any women or anyone that's not white speak about this because I just didn't think they were smart enough. Like, it's that thing that women have been complaining about for truly and literally decades where they're like, oh yeah, we weren't even consulted about this because a bunch of men thought that a bunch of other men were the most important people to speak about this thing about tampons.
Yep.
Know what I mean? Like, it's that it, in a nutshell.
Whether or not you think it's ridiculous, you don't have a choice. This is the locomotive that is moving through history, and you cannot just assemble a group of white men in something entertainment related and that's it. You just can't. You have to represent
say,
other genders and races. You must do that.
And even if you do that, then say the reason I didn't have anyone that didn't look like these people was because they were too stupid to understand what we were trying to do.
Because that's what you're saying when you say they weren't articulate, racist.
No, it wasn't even just articulate. They were like, they wouldn't have like the frame of reference of knowledge. Like, there was more
that's
to
what
the
he said
statement.
About the women. Yeah he said the women wouldn't be able to discuss music theory as well as the men would.
Oh God. Okay. Sorry to say, but moving right along.
It makes you want to read every Rolling Stone in history and to find out where that influence trickled down into coverage. Fuck that guy. Up next, Jen Shah is friends with Elizabeth Holmes in prison.
It's what we've wanted. It's what we've prayed for. The number of people that were like, why do I love this? And I was like, I don't even understand why you think you need to explain this to me, that why you like it. It's obvious why you like it. And I said I would pay $700 to see footage of them just having a conversation.
When Jen Shah gets out of jail, the very, very first question that the producers of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City are going to ask is, can we bring cameras into the glass-walled room when you visit your friend Elizabeth Holmes?
We'll do anything. We will do anything.
Because here's the thing about Elizabeth Holmes. She is articulate.
Stop. Can we not get cameras up in there? Like, they do prison shows, right?
I mean, you have to ask. I mean, I've shot in jails and prisons before. It's quite a clearance process, but you can do it. You just need a lot of lead time. I'm sure that they've already considered all of this. I mean, I hope so.
I'm begging. Like, what can we do? Anything. I don't even care what show it is. Just a live Big Brother feed of them speaking.
All right. Well, if you're that desperate, why don't you
sneak into the jail and record them without their consent?
Bake Elizabeth Holmes a cake and put a cell phone in it. Yeah,
yeah. I have to traffic in stuff for her into the prison so she can record herself.
Have you ever watched Wentworth on Netflix?
I have not, sadly.
It's an Australian women's prison drama, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that it is my favorite television show of all time.
Because it's good or because it's insane?
Both. Okay, but I couldn't, really? I can't even start talking about it. All I can tell you is that I happened upon it a couple of years ago in the middle of the night on Netflix. This is a true story. I couldn't stop binging it. So I took off from work the next day and my husband came home and I was still awake. I watched like 18 straight episodes and he walked in and said, "You are fucking kidding me." I was like, can't.
And you have like powdered donut sugar all over your face. Like,
that wasn't donut sugar. How do you think I was staying awake to binge it? It was a great day. Maybe one of the greatest of my life. Wentworth on Netflix. Get into it. All right, let's move on down the list. Oh, this is a bad one. Russell Brand. Jesus. I mean, Francesca Christ.
And this is what I don't. Jesus, Francesca Christ. Yeah. This is what I don't like whenever people that are like, this is going to be very mean and I'm sorry in advance. I don't like when people that make their entire personality about being addicts or being rock stars or being like, you know, fucking getting bitches and I'm like doing coke off a stripper's ass and then but whatever the fuck at the beginning of his career.
I wish the world could see the visuals on this delivery. I wish you were all seeing what I'm seeing.
I hate when they're that and then they turn into like, I love mental health and like I'm clean and sober now and so I am so great. And aren't I so great because I'm clean and sober now and nothing I did before was bad and I'm so great and then this happens.
Right. And then you find out they got clean and sober because they realized they'd been raping people.
Yes.
Yeah. Good on you. Kindness is always the answer after you've committed a series of sexual offenses.
Yeah. Is anyone surprised?
No.
Like, was there an Onion article that the cookies sent me that said people confused thinking that Russell Brand was already a sex offender, which is like hilarious and shouldn't be an Onion article because it's real.
No one is surprised. And I've hated Russell Brand for a long time because my favorite movie of all time is 1981's Arthur, starring the late Dudley Moore and the late Sir John Gielgud. And Russell Brand did a remake of this movie a couple of years ago. I did not watch it. I would not watch it. I believe it was nominated for Razzies. And Russell Brand, as a citizen of the United Kingdom, how fucking dare you redo this movie? How dare you try to duplicate or exploit the talent of Dudley Moore? You are a nugget of corn in Dudley Moore's last shit, Russell Brand.
Oh my God, slam! Slam.
I'm sad that he was violent towards women, but I'm just glad to see him be under investigation for any reason because he defiled Arthur. And And he dragged Helen Mirren into it to play John Gielgud's part. Well, Helen Mirren, of course, survived because she is impenetrable from bad reviews and nonsense.
Truly. I mean, are we surprised? No. Am I glad that this is coming out? Yes. Is it a decade too late? Yes. Because, like, what career does he even have anymore? Like, what has he done in the last, like, 10 years? Nothing. But
all this, these stories are coming out that all these people knew about it for years.
Well, that's, like, I don't know. I have not dove yet that far into it.
You know, like BBC, like there were shows he worked on where execs talked about not having any female staff members.
Yeah.
As opposed to just not hiring Russell Brand, they were going to degender their staff.
Which is, like, again, like, and that's the thing that I think people forget are like, well, how do you know any of these things are true? Or how do you know? You know what I mean? If you, like, the opposition of, like, is he a rapist? Is, like, if you're going to the lengths where people are not able to obtain a job because of their gender, because the work environment is so hostile that they will be attacked by the host of the show, like, that's hard to maneuver around in your excuse.
And also,
giving.
Like, insanely illegal to have that discussion. Like, should we not hire women because the host won't stop touching them? It's like, I bet Judi Dench is available. Get her to fucking host it. What's so great about the dude? It's not, you know, was he talented? I mean, I guess so. Not so talented that you'd need to put people at risk by hiring him for something. Good Lord.
It's crazy. But I mean, but people are eating. I mean, it's Harvey Weinstein 2.0 as far as I'm concerned.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
Because every couple of minutes, another story breaks from, like, another person or et cetera, et cetera. A couple of programming notes before we get to Brit Watch. I would like to apologize to the listeners who complained that somehow the strains of my voice saying, "Hey Siri," last week made your phones and car stereos go off and start screaming as her. I don't know what it was about my voice, because I've said this on the program many times.
Almost every episode.
I don't know what happened last week, but I will tell you that if I figure out how to repeat it, I'm going to. So that's that. And one more programming note. So those of you who listened to the podcast last week where we fixed Jimmy Fallon might have heard Chris having several, I guess what I would describe as mini meltdowns on the air.
I thought you were going to say tantrums.
Well, they were, thank you, actually. They were tantrums. I defer to that word. They were tantrums. And because I was saying the word literally instead of clitorally. Now, first of all, I wasn't aware I had to say it that way every single time. I mean, sometimes it has to slip through. But the real kicker is that if you listen back to that very podcast, Chris himself says the word literally instead of clitorally upwards of 83 times. Stop. In the 1 hour and 10 minute podcast. Realistically, like 3 times. It's blatant and it's loud. And honestly, who the hell do you think you are?
I will say you had every room and right to correct me, and you did not. However, when I was editing the podcast, did I hear it multiple times and go, did I sit there and go, what do I do about this? And was I speaking way too quickly for me to edit it out myself to try to cover it up? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So do I owe everyone an apology? Not as good as Dominic's that he gave in the moment? Correct. I do. And I'm sorry. And I'll do better.
Mm. That honestly, that was it. That was the Lord speaking for me.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are about to introduce our guest, but first, Brit Watch.
Brittany Watch.
Oh, baby, baby.
Okay.
It's like she's here when I do that, isn't it? It's like she's in the room.
Yeah, you sound just like her.
I know.
Brittany is allegedly dating her former housekeeper. I'm upset. I'm scared. I'm nervous. Is she in Italy? Like, I need to, like, where is she?
Oh, first of all,
I have not seen her getting those meatballs. I have not seen her back at home. Is she okay?
Britney Spears should not be dating her housekeeper for a couple of reasons. A, the power dynamic. You shouldn't, she shouldn't even be dating a former employee, but especially one that has as much dirt on her as he must. Like, if he cleaned this woman's home for, I don't even know, I don't, do we know how long he was her housekeeper?
Unclear.
All right. It's just that in a series of bad choices, this is a winner. This is tens across the board.
Well, he knows, yeah.
Bad idea for her.
Well, he literally knows where her dirty laundry is. Mm-hmm. Know what I'm saying? Like,
because he's cleaned it.
Yeah. I'm nervous. And so I have an idea. You're not ready for this. I'm starting a prayer chain for Britney Spears. There, I said I'm setting an alarm on my phone for noon Eastern time every day. At noon, I'm going to give her, and listen, if you love prayer, if you don't, you are going to, at noon Eastern time, now whatever time zone you're in, adjust to that, we're going to give Britney Spears positive vibes. The cookies and I have been doing this for a couple days, and I need to bring it now to, like, a larger audience. I'm starting a prayer chain, noon Eastern time. You can pray, you can worship her, you can do it, send her positive vibes, you can write her a letter, you can do whatever you need. This is what we're doing, noon, every day. She needs it desperately.
Oh, baby. Do we go to church? No. Will we pray for...
You can't even say it.
Because it's so redonk, but... Whatever. We'll probably gain a million listeners for the Britney Spears prayer chain. So do it.
Tell your friends. Like, tell everyone. Tell everyone. I'm serious. Guys, I'm not joking. I'll put it on my Instagram. Like, noon every day. Noon Eastern time. Prayer chain, Britney Spears. She needs it.
Wow. We have run the gamut here. But our job is not yet done. And it is time to get to our fixie.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, we have a fellow podcaster in our midst. Please welcome Kiki Anderson. She is a comedian and she is the host of Indecent, a podcast about peeling back the wallpaper of polite society. Kiki, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Hello.
Tell us really quickly a little bit about your podcast so people can find you and, you know, obviously go and download it and listen.
Yeah. So like you said, we're peeling at the wallpaper of polite society, trying to figure out like why people are hung up on this thing. You know, where does that belief system come from? We try to like follow the money a little bit and try to figure out if anybody's profiting off of your outrage. And we have all kinds of guests. We have everything from psychologists to social media experts, journalists, comedians. We have everyone on. And we're not trying to solve anything. We're just, you know, picking at it, trying to figure out what's got everybody's panties in a bunch.
We're trying to solve too much on this podcast, so I feel like this is like a beautiful balance of what, you know, I think that you'll actually really help us to kind of like.
So you do the adult version of, yeah, you do the adult version of our podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we're actual adults.
That's listeners. The first time people have called me an adult, so. Yeah.
So we are going to be talking about James Corden. I sent you the list. What drew you to James Corden?
Well, you had a great list. Some of them, I have to confess, I wasn't like really sure what they did. And I wanted to come from a place of like, oh, I've read about this and I've already had feelings on it, as opposed to like, mm-hmm. Oh, I Googled this for the purpose of this podcast. Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like James Corden like has made some missteps, but he's redeemable. I'm not a James Corden hater. So I thought that would be a good place to come from.
How he kind. Does he? I think he is redeemable too. He really didn't do anything so like too. That. I actually think that he didn't do anything that horrible to like receive like where he's like just basically gone off the face of the planet now.
Yeah, well, especially right after the Lizzo controversy. Like, I think that there. I don't trust anybody whose brand is positivity, first of all.
And you're correct to do so. You are so correct to do so.
You must put that on an apron or a mug. I don't trust anyone whose brand is positivity.
It's like people who use too much therapy speak, which is another conversation people are having right now. Is like, it's people that like weaponize these terms and stuff to like build this brand and like cover up their bullshit. So when you see people like James Corden slip up a little bit, I'm like, well, we fucking knew. I knew it was too good to be true.
Right.
He kind of filled the hole that Ricky Gervais left. Like when Ricky Gervais was like, I'm done doing this. Like, why did you hire me? Right. Remember, wasn't it the Oscars that he was like, why did you hire me? Like, I'm so over
Globes.
All this.
It was the Golden Globes.
It was the Golden Globes. Yeah. You're right. He was like, why the fuck am I here? Like, they were like, all right, James Corden, another British person that can like go up and be fun and not, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not throwing in the towel. He's not acting like he's too good for this. Like, I feel like we really got to know him once he started hosting everything possible and being a great host.
Right.
Yeah. It's so funny because if Ricky Gervais had yelled at somebody at a restaurant, nobody would bat an eyelash.
Not even, it wouldn't, including the person being yelled at. Right. They would be like, Mr. Gervais, like, thank you so much. Like, well, that'll be 25. Yeah, that'll be 25.97. Thank you so much. Yeah.
It's expected. Now, James was like, I'm not going to do the whole background, but he was like a child star in England. Like, he was on some show. I think it was a sitcom maybe as a teen. And so he had been well known over there for a while. And then that Broadway show I mentioned earlier was sort of his first big thing here in the States. And he took off pretty quickly from what I remember. Like he just became famous here really quickly, which doesn't happen to people from overseas very often that quickly, you know?
Unless they're like a heartthrob.
Right.
Like someone who comes in to play like a leading role, which he wasn't doing. But you were, Kiki, you were saying something about British people.
Right. I should say, no, as far as people you don't want to fuck, he became pretty popular very quickly.
Correct.
And actually,
British people like bypass that too. It's like, he's got an accent, so he's kind of sexy in his own way.
And I shouldn't shame him because he actually is, he's in my wheelhouse. He's actually kind of he's kind of cute, so I don't want to, in case he's listening and there is the possibility, I don't turn down.
He's in the wheelhouse.
I mean, anybody really. I mean, why would you? Life is short.
And let's not forget that obviously Carpool Karaoke like changed late night forever. Like that's when you really think about it, we would, even if you didn't watch any of the shows that he was on, you tuned into YouTube the next day to like the Carpool Karaoke, whoever he did with Carpool Karaoke, it was all over the internet for weeks.
Absolutely.
Afterwards.
No, even it was now. Like a historic achievement for late night. I mean, really, like it really would, having something fresh in that space comes around not even once every year. And Carpool Karaoke's won its own Emmys. It's been its own show. Like, it was just the simplest idea that he definitely took into the stratosphere. And he should. That is an absolute feather for him. There's no doubt.
And he's so good in it. Like, he's singing with them. He's having fun. Like, again, if this was Jimmy Kimmel, he would be like, why the fuck am I doing this? Do you know what I mean? Like, he would be like,
he's incredibly talented. For years before we came to know him, he was a talented actor and, you know, appeared in musicals as well. So he can sing, which brings us to, I believe he played a gay character in The Prom. The 2020 movie, the Ryan Murphy directed film, The Prom, and was savaged for, you know, for lack of a better term, gay face, and just appearing as a gross and offensive gay stereotype in Ryan Murphy's film. I am quoting, by the way, an article from the Independent when I call him quote, gross and offensive gay stereotype.
I don't know how to feel about that one because I'm not gay, so I can't speak to that issue, but I am Jewish, and Bradley Cooper just got in trouble for, I've never even heard the term Jew face, but apparently that's what they're calling it, which sounds way more derogatory than what he did.
Yes, correct. it's not great, really, but even you saying that right now, I was like, ooh. I was like, oh.
Right?
I
was thinking about the word Jew face. My God.
I feel like we should bleep it.
It's just something that you know that someone has lobbed at someone else before, and it's like, you know, it stings, even though we don't. Anyway, continue.
Gay face sounds fun. Jew face sounds horrific.
That's true.
But I'm not even mad at Bradley Cooper for that one. I'm like, you know what? The one thing that I will not allow him to do again is sing. He can play a Jewish guy if he wants, but just don't sing.
Slam.
Slam. Slam City. Slam.
You are correct. You are correct, but slam. But that's, I mean, it's good to know that, like, everyone is misrepresented in Hollywood, not just gay people or Jewish people. Do you know what I mean? It's really, but that is what kind of, I feel like, led to his downfall of people starting to be like, hold on a second. James Corden's whole, like, persona is, like, copying off of someone who would be like a gay person that would be this host, but instead you're giving it to him. Like, he's wearing the sequins, he's like dressing like a drag queen, basically. Right. He's like very like flamboyant, which, like, there are parts of me that I'm like, okay, but like, what if he's just flamboyant? That doesn't mean that he's gay. Like, it's like, people should be allowed to be feminine and be still be straight. However, there is a part of me that's like, yeah, he wears like sequin suits all the time, and it's like, just like, come on. Like, I don't know. I'm torn about it.
I wasn't. I was not offended by James Corden's gross and offensive gay stereotype, given that I, as a gay man, am grosser and more offensive than the
portrayal.
Yeah, I was
going to say
that he put in the prom.
I was going to say,
if that's gay face, what am I? Like a gay.
You see yourself
bomb
in that character. you felt represented by his character.
I did.
That's the diet version.
Yeah.
And I was doing gay face. Was it Meryl Streep in that movie? Or there's just or was Meryl
it was
Streep and Nicole Kidman and Andrew Rannells? Like,
everyone.
There's a whole bunch of, like, and so he's making fun of gay. No. I don't get. That's one of them.
Yeah.
What year was that movie made?
2020.
Okay. I mean, it is a little weird to make that mistake now. If that happened,
I mean,
the
they're
90s.
Still doing it every day.
They're
Katie.
Still doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single, isn't like the, what is it, like White, Red, and Royal Blue? Isn't that like a book that's now becoming like a movie that's like a Call Me By Your Name-esque?
I thought it was a movie.
It's too straight. There's definitely someone who's not gay in that movie playing a gay person. Look at Love, Simon. Like, the guy that plays Simon is not, he's straight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who is playing the roles in Red, White, and Royal Blue?
They're two younger, like, not as famous people, but I know that they're not gay.
Oh, okay. Then, right? I mean, if they're hot, I should.
Yeah, no, we're.
If it's like Harvey Keitel.
Dominic, we're lining up to go see it. In that
if it's like Harvey Keitel and Morgan Freeman, I will protest on behalf of gay people with a how dare you. But if they're hot, then yeah, they should. It doesn't matter if they're straight or not.
No, we're. Yeah, you could care less about if they're hot or not. No, it's
if
the
two
ones
gay people
named,
are, if gay people are kissing on screen and they're being portrayed by people who aren't gay. Newsflash, that's even hotter. You all know it. Stop whining about it. Stop.
That's just the story of Taylor Swift. Supposedly she's gay, and that's everybody, but everybody lives for that, like, story,
the mystery,
right?
Just, yes.
The mystery of it.
I'm so happy you brought that up, because we haven't discussed that on the podcast yet, but I found this week this whole internet, like, lunatic community on the internet that call themselves Gaylers, and their job is to, like, interpret every single thing that Taylor Swift says, does, breathes, both in and out of her artistry, where she's indicating that she is gay and telling the world that she's gay. And her tour, they have like 40 to 50 examples of Taylor telling the world that she's gay.
Dominic, I love Gaylers.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, because why wouldn't she just?
But that's what QAnon is. What is QAnon, other than them being like, oh, they said pizza in emails like 97 times. Like, that means that there's like, they're eating children.
This is that. I mean, people really want Taylor Swift to be gay. They desperately want it.
But no one wants James Corden to be gay. That's the problem, is that no one's being like, no one's begging him to be gay.
He keeps presenting as.
Yeah.
And that started you know, it wasn't his last scandal, because obviously the thing that ruined him, which I think is just, it's hilarious, because it's hilarious to me that if you are a celebrity, you can have not even a lapse of judgment. You can be misinterpreted for something you said or did that lasted literally less than 3 Earth seconds, and the rest of your life will be determined by, I am ever fascinated by it. And he said something off color to someone on the wait staff at Balthazar in 2022.
I can't.
And he is now known as someone who waits outside restaurants and murders waiters and waitresses when they're walking home. That is the severity of whatever the fuck he said to this person. And the owner of Balthazar put him on blast on Instagram. And it was, this is what he's known for now, being mean to waiters.
What do we know what he said? Did they like reveal what he said?
Well, I'm looking at that same article. Corden was branded a tiny cretin of a man and banned from New York City restaurant Balthazar over his alleged treatment of the staff. Owner said that James Corden was, quote, the most abusive customer to my Balthazar server since the restaurant opened 25 years ago.
Oh, my God. What do you
think? Okay, who's more dramatic in that situation, though?
No, I don't know. Talk about gay face. Good Lord.
That is a lot. That's so funny.
Well, he addressed the controversy. He said his statement was short, thankfully. The truth is I made a rude comment, and it was wrong. It was an unnecessary comment. It was ungracious to the server. That was it. I don't know what the comment was. It was something about, I know it was something about his wife's eggs. I remember that.
What I read online was that they brought him the eggs with egg whites, and then they brought it again with like the wrong sides. And he just started shouting like, you can't even do your job. I can do your job. Which like, he's kind of right.
That's but bad. That's not the right way to say it. No, but that's bad. And also like, this isn't, we're not at like Waffle House. We're not Lana Del Rey at a Waffle House during this. Mm-hmm. This is like, Balthazar is like an institution of New York City. Like you go there and it's like French. It's nice. It's like white tablecloths. Not that it's like the nicest restaurant in the whole world, but like it's like you're getting a steak there. It's like the whole point of it is that it's a nice fine dining restaurant in Soho, mm-hmm. right around the corner from like all the stores. To have someone be causing a scene there would be like very, if I was there, I'd be like very embarrassed for them.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like he's had these outbursts a lot. So maybe that's something that he needs to like work on. Maybe he needs to go work at a Waffle House for a while and be treated like shit for a minute. I don't mean to solve the podcast. I know that's later, but yeah. I don't know. I also, maybe it was a bad day. Maybe the waiter was rude. I don't know. It sounds like the guy that runs the restaurant also is a little rude. I don't know.
It sounded like he needed a little bit of attention, the guy that owns Balthazar. Like, yeah. there's no way that James Corden was meaner than anyone who's ever been there for 25 years. I want the story to be misinterpreted because I like that he made a comment about his wife's eggs. And I wish someone had actually like mocked her reproductive system or something like outlandish. That was the idiot story that they ran with.
He looked like a hero.
He'd look like a hero. He leaked the wrong thing leaked. That was all. What was that? A waitress made fun of your wife's eggs? This is appalling. He'd still have a show. He'd still live here.
And like James Corden's getting taken down for saying like, my food is not right and sending food back. Does the punishment fit the crime?
It means we were done with him. It means we were looking for a reason to hate him. And this was like, you know, you said something shitty to a waiter. Look, you're not supposed to do that. I'm sure in a bad mood, anyone might have done that from time to time. But, you know, I mean, he literally, well, he left the country. That was it. He said something mean to a waiter and was run out of the nation because of it, lost a television show, and was exiled to
the terrorist nation
of the United
Kingdom. You're so stupid. Stop. Why did he lose the Late Late Show?
I think he quit.
I think he was just done.
Yeah. Because is British, and I think he was tired of living here, and maybe...
Yeah.
His visa ran out.
Let's make something up. He wanted to raise his children in England. I made that up. This is not a news podcast.
Well, that, because that's the thing, is like,
false statements.
He is someone that, although he kind of had like a chokehold on like being a host forever, it then turned into like the minute you, this is the thing, is everyone thinks they're going to get off of the thing that made them really famous and like just still survive, and you don't. Like, you just don't. There's so many of the housewives that are like, I'm just going to leave and then I'm going to like be really famous. And like a very small fraction of them have been able to do that. Like, there's so many other things where it's like you get famous for being on like The Bachelor or the whatever. And it's like, you, unless you go on for like four seasons, you never get become as famous as you think that you can like keep that momentum if you're just off television.
It's like when someone's on The Voice or American Idol, and the week they get voted off, they always look and they say, you haven't seen the last of me. It's like, and we have, actually.
It is, actually. Yeah. This or is, the winners. Like, if you win The Voice or American Idol. Yeah, like, like, unless you're Kelly Clarkson or what's her name? Carrie Underwood. It. Like,
it's,
you're
just
good
Kelly
to...
And yes, because everyone else, even Ruben Studdard, he's performing at Starbucks now.
How dare you act like Ruben Studdard was someone who was going to become famous after
Well, I didn't. He was the second winner. Everyone thought he'd be at least as famous as Kelly. And instead, Clay Aiken is somehow more famous than Ruben Studdard.
Those are the only ones I can name. And yeah, I don't know where those two are.
I want to go into American Idol, but I know that Dominic will cut all of it out anyway, so I'm going to continue.
Why do you think that?
I just know that you will. Anyway, I was going to talk about Fantasia Barrino being in The Color Purple, the remake that I'm,
future Oscar
that
winner,
I am lining up Christmas Day to go see. I cannot wait.
But it's the Lord's birthday. You have to stay home and pray all
what
night.
No, I don't. And neither do you. Anyway.
Fantasia will do the singing for you.
She'll pray. I'll be praising someone and it won't be Jesus. That's so stupid.
Wait, is Jennifer Hudson also a winner from a singing show?
No, she did not win.
Well, she came in like seventh place. Yeah. She's not a winner.
But she's way more famous than half the other people.
She's an Oscar winner now. Yeah, she didn't need American Idol. Justin Guarini is the president of Spain.
Stop. How dare you? Justin Guarini. I mean, what do we do about James Corden? That's the thing. It sucks because he's like, he is funny. Like, when he did the Friends reunion, he was the host. And I was like, there's no better person to ask them these questions than James Corden. Like, I really felt secure with him. Like, I felt like I'm a huge Friends fan. So I was very excited for the reunion. And that was like, I don't know. It was just like, oh, this is, of course, who would be doing this. And asking them all these questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's sort of like a sassier Ryan Seacrest. Like,
yeah, he is.
There was a moment when you could have put him everywhere.
He is a sassier Ryan Seacrest.
He's a gay-faced Ryan Seacrest.
That is a joke. Wow, what a...
It's true.
That's so meta joke that I don't even know what to say to that.
I love a callback. But honestly, you know, when I think about fixing him, I almost just want to give him money because he's already appeared in Cats. So what more punishment could possibly be levied at him?
He does. That's what I will say, too, is like he has had a few
blunders.
A few casting choices that weren't great. Like, Cats was like panned by every person that saw it. Like, it was
everybody. Yeah. I mean, even Taylor Swift was in that and it still tanked. Like, no one went to see it.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I saw Cats on Broadway as a child and thought it was terrible.
And so you were like, what the fuck is this musical?
You
yes.
Were right.
Yeah.
You were right.
There was already nothing to work with there. And then they made it like pervy. I don't know.
Who's on the Late Late Show now? Does it even exist?
I think they replaced them. No, Judi Dench is hosting it.
Stop.
Really?
It's an only British. Oh, the only hire a British person now to do it.
That's his. Oh, and it was Craig Ferguson's first.
Right. And before that, it was...
That's what I forget about.
Name? Craig Kilborn before Craig Ferguson.
It was Craig Ferguson for a long time.
Yeah.
And no one watched it. And they stand like... I remember one of my friends was like, he's so funny and no one even cares.
Yeah, whenever I did catch it, it was very funny. The Craig Ferguson one. And James Corden was funny also. Their bits were always very funny. Funnier than... I felt like the level of comedy on the Late Late Show was sort of what the Tonight Show was going for, but they missed the mark a little bit. Like, there was still something like tongue-in-cheek and cerebral about the comedy on James Corden. I mean, which included things like eating bull balls, like stuff like that. But it was still very funny to me when I would watch it. More
because I think James Corden made them like accessible. Like he made celebrities feel like regular people as opposed to like some cool club where none of us get to be privy to. Here's a celebrity dressed down in a car, like ordering McDonald's or whatever.
And this is it. And now his whole career gone because he spoke to a waiter the wrong way. Just had a momentary lapse of judgment and revealed his personality.
Well, you know what I will say, though? He did, like, go out on it. Like, he saw the tide turning and was like, all right, I'm out of here. Which, like, never happens. Like, right. Never. Like, he saw, like, it was going south, and he was like, let me go back to London and just, like, be out of here.
I mean, what more could he do here anyway? Yeah, what more could he do? Or are we about to suggest what more
we are about to suggest what more
I think it's time for the pitches.
Okay. Kiki, this is the part of the podcast where we do our pitches. And then you can, once we are done pitching, you may ask questions, you may give comments, feedback, whatever you want. And then you decide who is the winner of this episode.
Oh, I can't wait.
James Corden. James Corden did a great thing with Carpool Karaoke. Dominic knows that I'm already going here. It's the best thing that he's done. It's the funniest thing that he's done. It's easily marketable and still funny and like, it's a part of his career that he can continue to ride on without having to like be a host again. What James Corden is going to do is do a much like Madden with football games. James Corden is going to do a Carpool Karaoke video game. Now, could this be VR? Maybe, where you feel that you're in the car with the celebrity and you are James Corden. Sure. Does everyone have VR? No. Minimum like a PS5 or like a Nintendo Switch. But I used to have like all these like Glee karaoke games for like the Nintendo Wii and like Rock Band and all these like fun games where you would like sing karaoke in a video game. That is what James Corden is taking over that market and is going to be like the Carpool Karaoke video game. He spends one day shooting like, hey everyone, it's my game, Carpool Karaoke, blah, blah, blah. And like, there's all these songs from like the iconic versions of all of the like Adele, Katy Perry, Celine Dion. We had Ariana Grande. Like we've had everyone. Like they're all the whole catalog is available to us. And you are in the car with this celebrity and you're singing along with the songs. You can customize different rides of like, here are the different songs we're going to sing in a row. And you can upload it to Instagram afterwards. Like all this can get recorded and put on social media since like, if you can't have a part of the game, go to social media, why even have it anymore? And his career is going to be like silently put back to where it was because people are going to be like, oh yeah, he is extremely talented and got these celebrities to do insane, crazy things. And it was like really funny. Like remember when he was giving away like Celine Dion shoes? Like he would just pull over when he did Celine Dion. He literally pulled over to the side of the thing and was like, do you want these shoes? They're from Celine Dion. And Celine was like, no. Funny. And like, he just threw them out of the thing. Like that's fucking hilarious. That is what he's going to do. He's going to become a video game empire, like mogul. And we're slowly like the reason that anyone even listened to anything John Madden said for the last, like how many years of his life is he even still alive is of because course. He had the best football video game for the entire time that I've been alive.
That's
you know
how
what I, mean?
So, I only, that's, I did, that's how I knew who he was.
Yeah. Same.
And I'm an adult.
And now James Corden is going to do the same with karaoke. And that is my pitch.
Wow. It's a good one.
James Corden. I don't know that this is a genius idea, but I feel like it is the only idea for you. Oh, God. You've conquered Broadway. You've been in film. You had a late night television show. I mean, you can sing, you can act. We get it. So the problem is that you're just not famous in a positive light anymore. That's what we're here to fix. I don't know. You could teach a school with all the talents you have. It's insane. Where else does a scandal-plagued person like you go? You're going to open a fucking restaurant, James Corden.
Stop!
You're going to open a restaurant that's only open for breakfast and only serves eggs.
You're a monster.
Maybe you're just a brunch restaurant. Maybe you're every day. Maybe it's just Sunday brunch. Maybe you're a pop-up event restaurant, but it's got to be dinner theater as well. If we have drag brunch, we can have James Corden egg breakfast, because these will be breakfast theater, and you will be one of the performers occasionally. It'll be like a real treat when you're actually there. Like, ooh, is Barbara Walters on The View today? Like one of those things. And that's it. I will leave it to the listeners to come up with a name for this restaurant, because I didn't think of this idea until we were
already doing it.
Yeah. Until 30 seconds before it came out of my mouth. And that's my pitch. He's just going to, as part apology, part moneymaker, part his name is back in the press again. And that's the goal.
Okay, so this is a little hard for me because I love both ideas. Okay, because I do think it's really funny.
It's often a Sophie's choice around here.
Yes, correct.
Ooh, this is hard because it would be really funny. You know, he did yell at the waiter, I can do your job better. So if he works at the restaurant sometimes and proves that he actually can do the job better, then I don't know, he's just like validating his own mean comments. but I do like the video game idea, especially if you can get into the video game and your goal is like, to try to do the things that James Corden does. Like, can you get Celine Dion to take off her shoes? And like, that's how you win or lose. And you realize how hard his job is. And you're like, okay, well, his job's very stressful. He has to like force people to take off their shoes. Like maybe he was just having a bad day. So for that reason, for the empathy side of it, I'm going to choose the video game, but they're both great ideas.
Oh, congratulations, Chris. It's been a few weeks since
Kiki,
you've claimed
the
victory.
I've needed this desperately. Dominic has been mopping the floor with me in the last like 6 episodes. So thank you so much for this. I needed this point. Like truly.
It's a great idea. I want to add something to this idea, if I may. And don't do this half point bullshit.
I will.
But I think that this video game should be played in cars. Like I think that this should be a hologram. It should be a hologram game that comes as part of a package, a premium package with the vehicle. You're driving, but you're playing Carpool Karaoke with James Corden in the car with you singing. And you just have to sing along with the hologram of James Corden that's in the passenger seat.
Now, Dominic,
I love that.
Do you remember whenever I pitched my idea about Lana Del Rey and you said this will result in the loss of many like casualties? That is what you have just said to me like right now. Okay.
I think not only do I think it should be a hologram of James Corden, but I think when you're playing the game, if you're driving alone, you should still legally qualify to be in the HOV lane.
Because you have two people in the seat.
I love that. That's honestly for the betterment of society at this point. It's the green option.
Stimulating the economy. What better comeback is that than stimulating the economy?
Dear God in heaven.
You're a genius, Chris.
Oh my God, I needed this so badly. Kiki, thank you so much.
Yes, and combine it with Grand Theft Auto. You have to like pick up.
Oh my God, like run people over. Yeah.
like that's how you get Celine's shoes. You have to murder her.
Yeah, yes. Like throw a Molotov cocktail at a helicopter. Like all of it. Yeah. Same thing. I mean, say apples and apples, right? Oh God. All right, well, another episode in the books. Kiki, thank you so much for being with me. You're welcome, James Corden.
You're welcome.
Oh my God, Dominic, wait, you never said what his middle name is.
And it's a doozy. It's a doozy. James Corden's middle name is Kimberly.
No.
Yep. James.
Okay, he deserves to be canceled.
Kimberly Corden.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Dominic, I would have changed my whole pitch.
What would you have done?
He would have become like the Pink Power Ranger. Like there was something. All of a sudden,
it's okay that he does gay face because
his middle name is Kimberly. That's horrible. Wow. All right. Well, moving right past that. Kiki, thank you so much for being with us. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on all the socials. On Instagram, it's Kiki Anderson. The podcast is Indecent Kiki, and we stream everywhere you get your podcasts. You guys, this was so fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We had fun with you. Thank you for coming.
Kiki, before I ask Dominic where people can find him, please tell everyone, or we can cut this out if you don't want to say it, but tell Dominic why you changed your name to Kiki.
Well, Kiki was my nickname growing up, but when I was doing the news, because I used to be a news reporter before I did comedy, people were confusing me on Twitter for Kellyanne Conway. So I was getting all of her hate tweets.
Oh my God.
Which, like, why would that happen? Like, you look nothing like her, thankfully. Like,
thankfully, just once.
Don't even have the same name. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
It was amazing because it was like, my Twitter handle was Kelly A Media, and her Twitter handle was Kelly Ann Poles. So it would auto-populate my name for a really long time. And I would just get all of her hate tweets, which I was personally delighted by. But the other news reporters in my newsroom were horrified. They were like, this is bad for your brand. And I'm like, yeah, but it's funny to me.
Yeah, you're like, I don't care about that. You're like, brand schmand. Yeah, I just knew that nugget about you, and I needed Dominic to watch Dominic.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic.
Go listen to Indecent. She's doing the Lord's work over there, actually. Dominic, where can people find you?
My website is dominterry.com, and my socials are at Dominic Puba. Chris, where can we find you?
You can find me at The Krista Rosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. Write a review and let us know who you want us to fix next. I wish you both well. And as always, where's Shelley? Goodbye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.